This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't forget again, but yes, I had literally that happen to me yesterday in the gym. I was in between sets, and I was like, oh, I grabbed my phone and said, I'm going to do something. And then I grabbed my phone, and you know, you do the screen unlock, and then I go,
I do that with going to the store.
I just sat there, dude, for 2 minutes, and I was like, I actually wondered, am I going crazy?
Yeah.
Am I losing my mind?
I do that with the store. Like, I'll be like, man, I will genuinely think, oh, I need something from the store. I'll hop in the truck and I'll drive to the store and I'll get there and go, what did I even come here for, man? I don't even remember what it was.
Oh, it's that bad. I mean, I will go and then forget one of the main things I want and then buy something completely different.
Buy a bunch of different stuff. Yeah, I mean, that's essentially what I'm talking about. Yeah.
See, mine's only when I'm flighty anyway, probably 90% of the time. But then I strung together some bad nights of sleep. So, like, I'm in, like, a brain fog. But I remembered what I wanted to share with everyone. If you're listening to us on the Odyssey app, we appreciate you. And at the top of the hour, you can head and jot this number down if you don't already have it saved, 404-726-0929. You can call us because we will be having the wake-up call then. So appreciate you listening to us there on the app. Now, as for the Hawks, they fall in a close game to the Bucks, 127-121. Giannis posting a triple double, and the Bucks coming on strong there to close out that one.
I mentioned this earlier, Tiff. This stretch run last night was a microcosm of what the Hawks are, in my opinion, right now. You made all the plays you needed to pull back even. You gave everybody in State Farm Arena a lot of hope. There was a lot of buzz in the air. And then defensively, you fall flat, and you're able to let Dame Lillard drive the lane. Brooke Lopez gets a dunk. You're back down by four. Trae Young misses a couple of floaters, a couple of jumpers right there in the lane, and you can't answer. Then all of a sudden, have to foul Dame Lillard down the stretch. He hits a free throw, and you lose by six when the spread was 5.5. It stinks, man, because this
Did that hurt you? Did that hurt you?
Yeah.
I noticed how you said that they lost by six when the spread was 5.5.
Oh, no. Yeah. No, I was on the right side of that
No.
one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
oh,
I was on the right side.
Okay.
I'm laughing because it's like you would love for the Hawks to be on the plus side of this. That's what, and we pointed to this, right? It's not so much about, the wins or losses right now. It is, but I think we all see where this is going, right, in this stretch run. You just want them to start playing at their potential or over their potential and getting to be good. And so when they fall flat of at least covering, when you're on a back-to-back and the other team's been in Atlanta longer than you, you're like, oh, spread's only 5.5. That means, hey, there's a puncher's chance here. And you don't get there. And again, they play very, very hard. There's a number of guys stepping up to the occasion. Caris LeVert has been great recently. Onyeka's playing great. Clint Capela, not so much. But you go back and forth on some of these guys, and they do all the hard work, and they do everything they need to be able to win these games in crunch time until they don't. And until the most simple thing, like Trae hitting a floater and answering a bucket by Brooke Lopez, until you can't do it, and then the game's over.
You have like 40 to 45 million, I think, this offseason to spend, somewhere in that range. Caris LeVert, got his name right.
That a boy.
His cap hit right now is 16.6. He's a free agent after this season. Would you bring him back? We know his contract's probably going to go up because that's how all contracts do, but would you sign him? Would you pay him 20 a year and then try to go get another complimentary player, a better player? I mean, what would you do, in other words?
I, I would probably, given what I've seen so far, how explosive he is, how he can kind of create offensively, I would probably bring him back. But I do want to kind of put this caveat in there. I think the decision was made before the trade. Like, I think whatever they were going to do with the future of Caris, I think if you are or you're not going to sign him back, that has to be thought of when you sent DeAndre Hunter elsewhere.
Well, yes, but also they did that for a multitude of reasons. They also got two other players, like Niang came from Cleveland, I think. Niang came from Cleveland, and he's going to stay because it was a three-team trade, and there was multiple trades.
They'll end up with Terrence Mann and Niang both.
Yes, but that's why I'm asking about LeVert, because he's kind of seems as the odd man out that of the guys they kept because of the contract. The other two were locked in for another year. That's why I asked.
I know exactly what you're saying and the reason for asking. I just think that when you made the trade, like, that decision probably should have already been in your back pocket. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but if I'm 51-49, right, that I'm going to get rid of you, you can come in here and sway 2% is, you know, it's not like it was
right.
I'm 80-20 on this guy.
Yeah. I think that, first of all, let me say this again. I think Clint Capela is absolutely killing you right now when he's on the floor. He's slow. He's not like, there's no movement, man. It's just absolutely crushing to the point where I look like Mo Gay didn't play last night or didn't play two nights ago. Started last night. He had started the previous seven games building up to that. I think he's explosive, but has to develop, right? So you're just dealing with all these pieces that, like, you're just wondering how they all fit together for the future. Like I said, though, you had the ball in Trae Young's hands last night with an open shot and not able to send it home, and therefore you're not able to get that win or at least keep it even closer at home.
It feels like we're always in transition.
Yeah, I completely agree.
And, like, we're always in transition. Like,
where's the optimism you had at the
– I had the optimism. You want to hit the optimism? I would rather them be in transition right now than going right back to the same roster we had for the last 2 years.
I agree. That's but we're always fair. In transition in roster, and Trae Young is good enough to get you a play. He's good enough to – for what his presence brings you with what's around him, always seems good enough to make the play in, but never be locked in. And so, therefore, it feels like we're always in transition with this roster of what we got to get rid of this guy and bring in somebody else. But who do we bring in?
Question. With the way he's been playing this season, especially when it comes to the assist category, do you think now it appeals more? Like, you've kind of seen the growth of Trae Young, as you like to say, or with the beard. Would that appeal more to someone now that you could probably go after in the offseason of thinking, hey, you know what? They look a little different. Trey seems a little different.
It's always going to be the question for me. Like, I always like, are y'all the type where when they're doing the post game handshakes, you watch? Like, I'm always watching, like, Giannis, like Dame. Like, I'm like, are they dapping Trey up? that man is due.
Well, I think it's a really good, valid question. It's a good question. Yeah, you want to know what his long? You want to know how committed he is here before you come here, and I think he's committed to Quinn Snyder. I think he loves Quinn Snyder. I think that's been said. You want to figure out what you're going to do financially with Trey moving forward. But it's a good question. It's a fair question. It's a question that any free agent would ask to me is if they want to be with him, then the second question they would ask themselves is, all right, Trey, I'm committed to coming playing with you. Are you committed to playing in Atlanta for the long, you know, for the foreseeable future? I think Trey would say he is. I hope he is. I want him to be.
Yeah.
And I want a free agent to want to come play there with him.
I will say I'm, as an Atlanta fan at least, I'm committed to Trae Young. And I don't know if every Atlanta fan feels that way, but that's how I feel personally. Like, I want him to be here long term.
Did you give him a promise ring?
I would if he asked me for one.
Promise ring? What?